Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, February 27th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Laura Decker. Laura and her husband Todd and their beautiful three children, Caroline and Will and John, have been active in Mountain Brook Baptist for quite some time. And Laura helps lead out in our downtown growth group that meets at the Ship Building on Tuesdays. At the end of the podcast, she and I will have a time where we sit down and talk about things of life and faith. I can't wait for you to hear more about that. But first, she'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Laura, for joining us.
Thank you for encouraging me to be here today, Mary. I'm going to be reading from the NSV version, Romans chapter 9, verse 30 through chapter 10, verse 4. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Our second passage is Psalm 48, a song. A psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Selah. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end.
Thank you so much, Laura, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you better. Where did you grow up and where are all the places that you've lived?
I grew up in Houston, Texas, and lived there until I went off to college in North Carolina.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Duke.
Wow.
That's where I actually met Todd our freshman year. We've been together a long time.
That's wonderful. Okay, so you moved to Duke.
Yes, and then we both went to graduate school in the area. After we graduated from college, I went straight into law school. He worked for a couple of years and then went to business school in North Carolina as well. We got married my first year after law school. So we got engaged right after we graduated college and then got married the next year. After we both finished our graduate program, we moved up to New Jersey, where Todd worked for Johnson & Johnson, and I worked for a law firm. We lived in the Princeton-Pennington area. It was beautiful.
And what brought you to Alabama?
Well, we had a detour on the way. After we had Caroline, Todd took a job down at Bank of America in Charlotte, and we were in Charlotte from 2000 to 2009. And then as part of sort of the banking collapse, we came here and Todd started working for a bank here.
Would you share more about your children?
Well, we have Caroline. She's 25, and she's been working as a preschool teacher here at the church. She's taken a new job that she starts on Monday. Bittersweet for her. She's going to really miss her children, but she's going to be working at Lightfoot And I have to look this up, Mary. She's going to be a legal tech coach and an AI workforce coordinator.
Wow. Now, I want to talk about your other two kids as well. But first, I have to say, I agree with all the parents who are going to miss Caroline. You can just see in those kids' eyes how much they love her and how gifted she is with children.
Oh, thank you. She adores these children.
All right. Tell us about your other two kids.
John, he graduated from Auburn last year, and he is working for a ministry called Onward, which reaches out to students at Auburn, trying to connect relationally and build relationships horizontally and vertically and help connect these students at a really tender and vulnerable part of a walk with Christ to bring them more fully into his presence. Will is a junior. He is going to major in history with a minor in German. He could fall into the category of he might be our perpetual student.
I would love to do that too.
I was going to say not in that he's not going to finish on time, but it's
he loves just, to study.
He has a passion for learning, and I love talking with him about what he's doing and what he's thinking. He's so interesting.
What is one of his favorite periods of history, or do you know?
Oh, I'll butcher it. I know he's into very like ancient Eastern. For example, this is one of his, he's taking a language course in Syriac this summer up in New Jersey.
So he speaks German. He's going to know Syriac. Does he speak Spanish?
He does. Not wow. as well as you do, but he has a good solid history in it.
I'm impressed. Let's do a few get to know yous. I know that you like to run or walk for exercise. Did you play sports growing up?
I did. I went to a smaller private school where I could play three sports, and I loved playing them. I played field hockey and basketball and softball.
Here's another question. Are you a night owl or a morning person?
100% morning. I'm up usually by 4 on my own. And I go to bed very early. My family, it's embarrassing to my family how early I go to bed.
So what would be a morning routine for you?
I'd love to get up. I might have a few little chores, make my coffee, and then sit down and do my quiet time. The beginning of my quiet time, I guess.
Are you listening to a specific song these days, or is there some album that's on repeat?
You know, it's funny. When I run, I love to listen to worship music, and my running playlist varies. Things come in and out, but right now it has things like How Great Thou Art, but a newer version of it, In Christ Alone, Come Ye Sinners. It may seem like a weird running playlist, but I will find myself just holding up my hands in the middle of a run. It's one of my favorite times.
It just becomes a time of worship.
It does.
Because we're in the season of Lent, I wanted to ask you, have you celebrated Lent your whole life? And do you take on the practice of giving something up or adding something into your rhythm?
I've never celebrated Lent. It was not something that we did in our church growing up, but I'm really curious about diving in. And I've heard Kelly Hatley talk so much about the liturgical calendar, and then James K.A. Smith was talking about it. So I really want to learn. And my first step this year is I've signed up to get the little Lent newsletter from Tim and Kathy Keller, and I'm reading that as a devotion guide each day.
Let's dive in more to your life of faith. How did you come to faith in Jesus, and what has your journey with him been like?
I grew up going to church. My family went every Sunday. We went to a Presbyterian church, USA, and I don't think I really came to faith in those early years. But as I got into high school, I started doing Young Life, going on some Young Life trips and doing campaigners. That's what we called the women or the girls' Bible study version, part of it, portion of it. And I just learned a little bit then, went to college, did not attend church regularly. And then I would say the next really deep dive that I felt, or really the next really intense relationship with God grew when we joined a church in Charlotte. It was a PCA church, and we spent so much time studying his word, learning about, you know, justification, sanctification. And that was the first time for me that I saw the connection, the overstory, the big story from Genesis to Revelation, and it clicked. I need to have the big picture sometimes to understand the smaller parts. And I just, it was a really wonderful season.
I see you serving on Sunday mornings with the babies in the nursery. What about that ministry brings you joy?
You know, I started working in the nursery with my mom as soon as I could. I probably, you know, was age 4 or 5 and was there to watch the babies or hold them or touch them. And I've always loved infants, the little bitties, I call them. And I still do, having my children when they were infants. I just loved that time. It was such a tender, and I know this sounds weird, but kind of a quiet and tender time for me to enjoy that infancy. And so I really do love just holding these babies.
Now we have a lot of new babies. What does a Sunday morning look like?
It's been kind of calm. I'm going to be working this Sunday. It's been very manageable, and Sharon has us on a good rotation, but it's really fun to see them, the new ones, come in.
I feel like we go way back because we're in a growth group together and you're such a strong leader in that group. Share about the uniqueness of our group and maybe a nugget or two that you've learned over the years.
I love our growth group. We're the downtown growth group. It's a bunch of women. I'm an attorney, and there are a bunch of attorneys and accountants and Mary.
And and then there's me.
No.
How many? I mean, we probably have 6 attorneys in our group.
Yeah. There's a lot of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really wonderful because I feel like it's a group we encourage each other to really tackle or take on some hard books, and also to encourage each other to stick with it. Do the readings, do the work, come together, share openly, and really feel safe to talk about what's really going on in our hearts. Right now, I would say one of the things I loved was when we've done a bunch of Tim Keller studies, and you know I love Tim Keller.
I do too.
And it got me into the practice of listening to his sermons, because we would listen to his sermons in conjunction with one of the study guides he had on, for example, Romans. And it's gotten me into the practice of listening to one of his sermons when I walk my dogs each day. And it's such a better way to enjoy my morning than listening to some other story or something like that. I really appreciated it. And then now because Jamie Smith was coming to the church, we decided to read On the Road with St. Augustine. And then we thought, well, that's not enough, so let's add on the Book of Confessions. And it was a little intimidating at first, but it's been really great. And just to see, you know, so many references from Wayne's sermons to Keller's sermons to, and then being in the Word, but just seeing Augustine's words come to light in other areas, and then how it brings us back to the gospel. It's just been wonderful to study, or actually to read what he's written.
Has there been a time in your life where you felt the Lord's presence almost palpably in a difficult season?
One of the earliest seasons was my dad died when I was in college, and he had had a liver transplant and it failed. And I suppose in shock. I was very far away from home back then. You know, I had to fly. It was not as easy as it is today. And I really wasn't there for a lot of his illness and the surgery. But when he died, it was very shocking and devastating. And our church really came together and loved our family very well. They came together and loved our family well before, because I won't go into the details, but helped raise some money to help pay for his surgery and just really wrapped their arms around us, whether it was just loads of food or prayer. It really made them stood out to me that the love of Christ was around us.
We read some great passages today. Did anything from one of the passages stick out to you?
Well, I'll be honest, when I saw what I was to read and saw Psalm 48, I read it and thought, you know, this is not a psalm that I've prayed through. And a lot of times when I'm reading the Psalms, songs come to my mind and vice versa. And it didn't hit any of those, you know, songs that are usually in my heart. So I read it many times, and then I pulled out a trusty little companion that I'm planning to do this devotion about the songs of Jesus, reading through the Psalms over 365 days. It's authored by Tim and Kathy Keller, and I just, when reading his commentary, this isn't from me, but he talks about when the psalm was written, the city of God was Jerusalem, containing the hill of Zion with the temple, the place for the atonement of sin. But after Jesus, who was the final temple and sacrifice for sin, the city of God becomes a community of faithful, both in heaven and on earth. And so this community of God's people is to be the joy of the earth and be an alternate human society based on love and justice. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what our church and the bigger Christian Sea Church can be. Also, just the way it ends is so beautiful, that God is our God forever and that he will be our guide even to the end. And that's just also a very sweet passage or piece of scripture. So I hope to read it again when I go through the Psalms in the next devotion that I start, when I start reading one every day. And also, I'll look forward to hearing it on the podcast again sometime.
That's right. As we continue in that rhythm of coming back again and again, I didn't remember it from the last time we went through the Psalms either. It's interesting. I share with you, I kind of have different songs that come to mind or different phrases in different Psalms. If you had to look at Psalm 48 and say, this phrase now sticks out to me, what would it be?
I think my favorite couple of verses are, within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. And I know that many Psalms, I think, must use the phrase that we meditate on God's unfailing love, but it's just a good reminder to. I heard a sermon recently and talking about meditation and meditating on the Psalms is not emptying our mind, but it's filling it with God's word. And I just pray that I can continue to do that.
Thank you so much, Laura, for reading and for sharing of your life and faith with us. Your friendship is such a gift to me. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, Mary. And thank you for having me. And I just love you so much and want you to know that. One of the things that you have brought into my life through the podcast is you read from different liturgies and prayer guides. And one of them is A Diary of Private Prayer by John Bailey. And I have just loved this prayer book. And I wanted to read from the 12th day morning prayer. O eternal God, although I cannot see you with my eyes or touch you with my hands, give me today a clear conviction of your reality and power. Do not let me go into my work believing only in the world of sense and time, but give me grace to understand that the world I cannot see or touch is the most real world of all. My life today will be lived in time, but it will involve eternal issues. The needs of my body will shout out, but it is for the needs of my soul that I must care the most. My business will be with material things, but let me be aware of spiritual things behind them. Let me always keep in mind that the things that matter are not money or possessions, nor houses or property, nor bodily comforts or pleasures, but truth and honor and gentleness and helpfulness and a pure love of you. Thank you, Lord, for the power you have given me to grasp things unseen, for the strong sense I have that this is not my eternal home, for my restless heart, which nothing finite can satisfy. Thank you, Lord, for sending your spirit to fill my heart, for all human love and goodness that speak to me of you, for the fullness of your glory poured out in Jesus Christ. On my pilgrim journey toward eternity, I come before you, the Eternal One. Let me not try to deaden or destroy the desire for you that disturbs my heart. Let me rather give myself over to its persuasion and go where it leads me. Make me wise today to see all things within the dimension of eternity, and make me brave to face all the changes in my life that come from this vision. Through the grace of Christ, my Savior. Amen.